Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we are going to be discussing the three different body types and how to train and eat optimally depending on what your body type is. So these are called somatotypes, and they are the three general categories on your body structure, as well as how much muscle you hold, and then fat storage and distribution. So Chris, why don't you give us the definition of the ectomorph?
Sure. So ectomorphs, they usually will have long, thin muscles and limbs, and normally they have lower body fat storage. So they're pretty much super lean, or they have more of a lean look to them.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about a female, think like a runway model, or if you're thinking about in sports, these are usually your marathon runners. They're very thyroid dominant. They have a fast metabolic rate, and they really have a high sympathetic nervous system activity. Also, they typically can tolerate a very high amount of carbohydrates. So usually their goals, especially in the realm of what we do, living the prep life, they're usually those hard gainers. They just have a difficult time increasing their muscle strength and especially size. And then they can really get really good at like aerobic activities, but they're just, they're not very good with those short bursts. So high endurance, they typically have more of the slow twitch fibers, which is, those are smaller in size. So that's why, you know, that's why their body type sort of looks like that. Their joints are smaller. They have less of the fast twitch muscle fibers, which are typically larger and more explosive. Do you have anything else to add on?
Yeah, they have
the ectomorph.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say their muscle bellies are usually a little bit smaller. So,
yeah.
They're like putting longer on size takes a little bit more work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then let's go on to the mesomorphs.
Okay. So mesomorphs, usually you can tell somebody has this body type by, they're just like a little bit larger, as far as like their overall body structure. Like maybe a little bit broader shoulders, but usually like a smaller waist. And so they kind of look like they have an overall maybe balanced musculature structure. So a little bit more muscular than the ectomorph, and kind of like have a well-rounded, I guess, shape, you could say.
Mm-hmm. So they still have more of the petite joints. And so that's actually what makes their muscles look a little bit bigger. They have the shorter muscle bellies. They have more of that fast twitch fiber. They're more testosterone growth hormone dominant, and they can basically be moderate or high sympathetic nervous system activity. So they have a, you know, moderate carbohydrate and tolerance. So they can kind of do like a mixed meal where they can have, you know, maybe like a 40% carbohydrates, 30% protein, 30% fat. Whereas the ectomorphic, you're going to want to veer more on like your ratios being closer to 55% carbohydrates and then like a 25% protein, 20% fat. So mesomorphs are the genetic freaks of the world. They are the typical traditional bodybuilders. That's what they are perfect for. They just have that X frame, that V taper, small waist. They have a fairly easy time managing their body weight, and then they have a really a fairly easier time than most genetically on gaining muscle. So they can actually do a wide variety of training. They can benefit from, you know, strength training, hypertrophy. They can do a little bit of endurance, and then they can also do like high intense interval training as well. So they're kind of like the middle of the road. But yeah, I mean, that body type, they're going to be able to build muscle mass and then maintain a really low body fat percentage. So they're excellent in athletic performance.
Yeah. So they look like athletes.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I was going to add to that. They look like athletes and they perform like athletes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. So endomorphs.
Yes. So the third category. So these are characterized by, I guess you could say, like a little bit broader, a little bit bigger, and they are a little bit stronger. Usually they're going to carry a little bit more body fat and just be a little bit wider as far as overall body structure.
Yeah, and these are your power lifters, your rugby players, you know, the world's strongest man. They can actually put on quite a bit of muscle, so they're good at like wrestling and things like that, where they can have a lot of strength, but along with that muscle gain comes a lot of fat gain with it. So they have a really hard time managing their body composition. And for them, they're very insulin dominant, which means basically they have a hard time processing carbohydrates. They usually have a slower metabolic rate, and then they have a very low sympathetic system activity. So when I say that, I'm kind of referring to subconsciously the ectomorphic, so the skinny ones, they will have more movement throughout the day without even knowing it. So they probably have like a higher NEAT just by sheer type. And then when you're looking at the endomorphic, they just really have to focus on movement all the time to manage their size and to keep fat loss off. So because they have a lower carbohydrate tolerance, we typically keep those people or at least at 40% fat in their macronutrient ratios, sometimes 50%. And then depending on that, you know, it could be like a 20% or lower carbohydrate. These are the people that do well, like on keto diets and things like that. And then having about 30% protein. So they're going to have a hard time, especially in their central region. So their abdominal fat, their lower back, it's going to be very difficult for them to sort of get rid of that. So let's talk a little bit about the hybrids. So do you want to go over what an ectomeso is? So some of you might fall, you know, it's not a hard and fast rule. Like I would hate for you to, you know, pigeonhole yourself into a certain body type and just, uh-huh. you know, be like, oh, well, you know, this is my genetics, so this is what's always going to be, because you can have a little bit of a hybrid, and you can also, through your work ethic and dedication, and depending on what types of goals you're working towards, you can change through your environment, you can kind of hybrid. So let's talk about that first one, ectomeso.
Yeah, so ectomeso is going to be a blend. Obviously of the ectomorph and the mesomorph. So they're going to typically look pretty athletic, but they'll be a little bit more on the thin side. Typically you can notice that more in the limbs, the thinness in the limbs.
Yeah. And I would say, so these ectomorphs, true ectomorphs, they're really hard gainers. So if they are trying to get into the bodybuilding realm, they usually fall into this hybrid form. So they, you know, they're working towards a hypertrophy goal where they're trying to build larger muscles and trying to fuel their bodies to look more like a bodybuilder. For example, I myself have always kind of been that ectomorphic. I have pretty petite, like, joint sizes and things like that. So if you look at my show pictures from when I first started competing about 10 years ago, you know, I'm pretty tall and I weighed about 115. So now I step on stage and I hit about like 130. So over the years, you know, I've moved into, but I would say I have a really hard time hanging on to muscle, and it takes me a lot longer to kind of earn that. So I would say that's where I kind of fall. And then Chris, did you want to talk about where you fall and kind of what that is?
Yeah, so I would categorize myself as an endomesomorph. So that is a blend between the endomorph and the mesomorph. So, I mean, my body typically carries some muscle. Just I can build muscle pretty fast, and I, especially my lower half. And so I believe that's more of the mesomorph aspect of things. But I also carry extra body fat. Like during my off season last year, my body frame just naturally carried more body fat than a lot of the other pros. And so I believe that I fall more into the endo morph side of things as well too. So yeah, I'm a hybrid too, kind of in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. So there's also another hybrid if you have this kind of go full circle. So it's basically the ecto endo. So that's like kind of like your skinny fat is the best way that I can describe that. It's somebody that looks extremely thin, but they may not necessarily, once they get their body fat taken. I've had several clients in the past that it's like they look very, very rail thin and, you know, they have a low scale weight, but then we take their body fat composition and it's just mind blowing like how much actual fat is distributed in their body. You can't really see it. Did you have anything to add on those, that hybrid type?
No, but I do think it's pretty interesting to see the common trends of like how your food and your training style definitely can play a part in how your body develops. So, I mean, I think this is a really good way to kind of like have a starting point to kind of self-assess where your body frame's at, and then kind of utilize the tools as far as like your macro ratios matter, and also how you're training your physique matters, and how you develop.
Yeah, I
So
think.
I know people. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I was just gonna say, I know people like to kind of like categorize, especially if you're in this sport. You kind of like to self-assess. You kind of like to like constantly improve. And so, kind of having some of these tools, I think, really helps to categorize and help people move forward. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the main message here that we want to portray is that it's important to have a coach that definitely prioritizes your specific needs. And so, if you are living the prep life, most likely you want to gain muscle and you want optimal body composition. So, you want more muscle and less fat. And so, if that's an ectomorph, you have to look at your cardio and it should be like zero. I have ectomorphs that I train that are on step restrictions. So any kind of cardiovascular movement for them is going to be detrimental. It's going to tear down the muscles. So we need to avoid cardio at all costs. They still need the cardiovascular health so that they don't fall into that ectomeso. So I would still recommend that you take restorative walks or, you know, you incorporate a warm up. But these people, when they're weight training, it's super important that they take rest periods longer than any of the other body types. So, if your trainer is not programming, if you're an ectomorph and you do not have rest periods, if you're supersetting things, that's keeping your heart rate up too high and you're going to get into that aerobic zone. So, it's very important for my ectomorphs that, first of all, I keep them very well fed. So, calories are super high. They're going to actually probably consume, I would say, 300 to 700 more calories than if you were to just do a generic calculator, you know, based on height and weight and things like that. They're going to need more
Oh my
calories
gosh.
than what that formula, that basic formula would show you. And they're going to, like we said before, they're going to need a lot more carbohydrates because they are very carbohydrate insensitive. So they can run through it very quickly.
You know, this, oh, I just want to add something anecdotally that I just thought of. This totally makes sense because I remember going to my first team show. And I remember you prefacing, like, you know, everybody's going to have a different meal plan that they're working off of, and they're going to have different like pump up items as far as like what they're eating right before they get up on stage. And I remember like some people were eating like a tablespoon of nut butter, and other people were eating like Okay, I was gonna exaggerate and be like six waffles, but that's not true. Eating like eating
you
like
might be
waffles.
a little bloated in the waistline with that.
Okay, so don't quote me on that part. But there were people eating waffles, and I was like, this is so, it like blew my mind, because I was like, you know, a lot of times when you look for criteria for like peak week, or you look for like a regimen of what you're supposed to be doing when you get up on stage, everybody has like their system of what works. But it was so cool to see that like each athlete had a specific regimen on what was going to make their body look the best when they were stepping out onto that stage finally. Even if we're talking about like preparing for a show and different regimens as well, I feel like having a coach that knows your specific physique and how to display it the best, even like the hour before your show day, is super important. So yeah, I think that was like my awakening of that, like specific preps are, they're super important.
Yeah. I always make a kind of general announcement before the show that, and I'm not trying to be a jerk by saying, don't just ask like your teammate, like what to do. I'm not saying that because like it could really derail your entire, you know, peak. Because you can't share notes, especially even on water, sodium, all of that stuff. Like everybody's plan is completely different and they have totally different needs. So I always tell competitors, you know, usually, especially if they have like peak week brain and they're at the show and they ask their fellow teammate, like, what should I do now? I just tell everybody, go to your coach. They're the only ones that need to tell you the instructions. No teammate is going to know what you actually need. So,
Yeah, it's
that's
crazy. Yeah,
that's kind of the ectomorph strategy, very general strategy. And then if we're going into a mesomorph, as far as training goes, they can do pretty much all sets. Like they can do hypertrophy, they can do strength. It's good for them to kind of oscillate through different periodization and different types of training styles. You know, they may have low reps for a couple of months, you know, and higher weight, like in an off season. And then, you know, when they're coming down to like a lean down phase, then they might be more higher volume. They can handle a mixture. And I know that you probably can speak a little bit more on this in regards to your training and how we periodize through that.
For my cardio specifically.
Yeah, I mean, just for your cardio and in general, your weight training. So we've kind of gone through different phases. Like right now, we won't say how far out you are from the show, but just like training wise, now your sets and reps and rest look a lot different, right? And your volume, the amount of sets. Can you speak on that a little bit on how that's changed from improvement season to now?
Yeah, so improvement season was all about utilizing my, you know, excess calories to be able to put on as much muscle tissue as possible. So my training style was shorter rep ranges and longer rest periods, and basically focused more on moving more weight. And, you know, as I have been dieting down, it's shifted more away from that and has been more of a focus of, you know, maintaining as much muscle as I can, being in a deficit. And so my rep ranges are more, so I have more reps that I'm completing. And my cardio regimen as well has increased, so more activity to help bring down body fat, I think more for that like endomorphic side of me.
Yeah, and mesomorphs, if they do have an easier time dropping body fat and then building muscle and kind of recompositioning. So the old school bodybuilding, you know, they would have said, oh, they can do cuts and bulks, you know, and kind of undulate through those two phases. But we don't like bulking. We don't really believe in that. You know, you're going to be doing lean gains in an improvement season. So, but my point is that mesomorphs can go back and forth because they have sort of that mixture of, you know, muscle groups in there. They can have like a little bit of endurance, but you know, they can't be, they will, if their environment and their lifestyle choices are sitting on a couch, being lazy and eating a bunch of junk food, then they're going to move into that endomorphic state, over time.
Yeah.
So you can derail or you can improve your body type is the moral of the story. All right. With the endomorphic.
Yeah.
So when we're talking training for them, we have to do high volume. They really need to be incorporating long endurance activities. List cardio for them is more what I recommend because they do put on muscle pretty easily, but they just have a hard time keeping that fat off. So, you know, mesomorph or an ectomeso, they might be good for like a HIIT training, but you really don't want to do that for an endomorph. They need movement. So they need to have step goals. They need to have list cardio. They need to have supersets. They need to be constantly keeping their heart rates up in the gym without huge rest periods like the ectomorphs. Did you have anything more to add on their training style?
I can just relate a lot to that aspect of things. Like with, I mean, I've talked about this before of lifts being really important for my legs. Like, I feel like my legs can be super strong. And so of course I love training my legs and pushing a lot of weight and feeling really great. But for bikini, it's been super helpful to actually pull away from training my legs so much and doing a lot of lifts. It's actually completely, I feel like it's completely changed the composition of my lower half. So that's another thing I think that is interesting as well is when you have like a blend of these categories, like there are certain aspects of your body that may require different training than the upper half. Like the way I train my upper body is completely different than the way that I train my lower body. But it takes that specificity to be able to get the overall look.
Yeah. And some of that, you know, it's based on your background of what you've done for years and years. So, you know, you have that base, from different sports that you played. And, so that can play a factor into it too. And then just, I know we talked about the endomorphs being more carb sensitive or intolerant, and that's something that you can usually see is that they just carry a lot of belly fat. So anyone that's insulin resistant, you know, that's typically their trouble area is like their stomach and on men primarily, it's like the lower back and abdomen,
right?
Kind of like that tire area. So that's kind of like the last place to go. So just improving their insulin sensitivity is really important for them. As far as that goes, I think we've kind of covered the three body types. I wanted to get your thoughts on you're in that phase and a lot of our competitors. So we have our team show coming up in about 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe you could shed some light on just how you've gotten through. Sometimes we get prep goggles and we get frustrated with results not happening fast, especially during those last weeks. Like things slow down. Sometimes we want to just throw the scale through the bathroom window. So what are some ways that you've tried to get on top of, you know, making sure that doesn't affect you when the scale is not, you know, doing what it should be? What are some ways that you have found have been helpful?
Yeah. So I think that, I think you're absolutely right. I think the scale is sometimes the biggest enemy in the sport. And I think especially as women, because we have been trained to look at that number so much that it can be super frustrating when it doesn't move or it bounces up and then bounces down and we're not getting consistent. And I'll be super candid. Like my weight has not dropped consistently and actually has been stuck for a little bit. And, it's, I think, very easy to just kind of like want to throw in the towel because that number is not giving you positive feedback. So I do think that it's important to have other measurements of success. And for me, the longer that I've done this sport, the more that I have been able, I think, to accept that. So a lot of things that have been super exciting for me is just being able to objectively look at my physique and see positive changes, as far as like, I feel like I'm seeing new lines every time that I do my check-in. Even if my weight is up, I feel like, okay, I'm seeing more striations in my shoulders, or my, you know, yoga pants are feeling a little bit looser around my thighs. Measurements are another like number that you can look at, but sometimes those are not as consistent as well. And I think just understanding that as a woman, your body is going to go through fluctuations, and to not just like overstress about those specific numbers is super important. So yeah, I've actually been really motivated by progress photos. I think that has helped me stay on track and helped me see like some of my progression. But also I think another trap that people fall into is the comparison game. And that's, I mean, I've had this conversation with Amy, and Amy totally knows, like, I don't really need to know what the other competitors are doing or what the other competitors look like. I mean, I can cheer on other girls and be excited for them, and I can admire like their specific, you know, physique attributes that are appealing, but I need to know that like my body is never going to look like that other competitor's, because I have my own unique physique, kind of like what we're talking about on this podcast. And so my main goal, and when you hear people say like, it's me beating me, is the focus of just refining your own physique and getting to the best, you know, the best that you can produce. Because the beauty of it is that other competitor is never going to look like you either. So owning that you are unique as an individual and being able to strive just bettering your own physique, not trying to duplicate someone else, I think is a very important mental aspect of the sport. And I think if people can really focus on keeping that positive mentality, it will just help you progress even more and enjoy the sport, because it should be fun.
Yeah. And when you think about anxiety, remember, anxiety either stems from fear of something in the past or fear of the future. And the more present that you can maintain, the less anxiety you're going to have. So keep in mind that your day-to-day tasks, just staying in your lane, checking off your boxes for the day, that's going to reduce your anxiety, because you're controlling the things that you can control in your 24 hours. You can't, you know, say like in 8 weeks, I'm going to be this weight. That might not happen, especially if you start getting fearful of it and you start stressing, then cortisol goes up and our weight won't participate with us. We need to just stay within what we can control, check off those boxes, give ourselves a gold star, right, Chris?
Yeah.
In our journals for completing the task, and then moving on to the next day and tackling that day when it comes, but just kind of staying in your lane. And then I like what you're saying with the social media, because I think that just quieting the chatter and quieting the noise of, you know, looking at people under the same show hashtag, or like how many weeks out they are, and trying to figure out who's going to be there. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It matters what you bring.
Right.
This is all about you and the improvements that you can make. So the more that you just focus on what you need to do daily, the better things are going to turn out. And something that I wanted to also point out that I've noticed that's been different for this prep for you is that you've never previously been able to fit into an A shaper, the size A, and you're extending your time daily, it seems, and your weight belt notches, you almost don't have enough, which is a new milestone that has changed. So it's important to look at those other little factors. Do you have any thoughts to close things out? I know I kind of went on for a little bit about that.
No, I think that's, and I'll just add one more thing that I shared with Amy earlier that has actually really helped me. I know in previous podcasts, we've talked about rest and recovery being super important. And so having a checklist is a good idea to kind of make sure that that gets established. But if you're like me, I just have squirrel brain, and I'm just horrible at slowing down and making sure that I'm stretching or foam rolling. It's just like the last thing on my list because I don't really enjoy it. So I actually, we got these like, these stupid like gold star stickers at Walmart, and I love putting that stupid gold star sticker on my workout days, in my workout journal. So I like cannot have a day that does not have a star. So if there is something within your prep, whether it's posing or your step goal, or just the one thing that is like, you just like don't enjoy it and you're having a really hard time getting that accomplished. I don't know why this is really working for me, and maybe it will work for you, but go get some like gold stars and mark it somewhere where you can see. And it has actually really helped me accomplish that task. And I got to tell you, like stretching improves my posing like 100%. So, yeah, I just think that's like a small anecdotal thing to add.
Yeah. And I think you, you also kind of created like a social accountability network too, where you not only are posting your steps from your watch, but you're tagging other glam girls, and then they're tagging as well with their steps. And so everybody within the community is, you know, like cheering each other on. And then also you get that accountability piece as a daily win, you know, hey, I hit my, you know, 13,000 or whatever. And I've noticed like some of my competitors do that on their stories with other activities like yoga or, you know, got their water in for the day, and they'll kind of like put that out there. So,
yeah, it's been really fun. Yeah. So if you want to tag, me or Glam Girl or anybody for accountability of getting in that one goal that you have a hard time getting in, include us. So yeah, I think that's been really fun too. I wake up every morning and, you know, like have my breakfast. And then when I go to my Instagram, I see like all these girls that have tagged me in their step goals, and it motivates you. So yeah, the little things they can matter, and accountability is really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, we just wanted to say thank you for listening so much. We really appreciate it. And if you enjoyed this episode or you find value in our podcast, remember that it is an unfunded podcast. So we really appreciate it. Keeps Chris and I going, hearing your feedback through the reviews on iTunes or seeing what your ratings are. We really appreciate it. And then it also helps others that are interested in the prep life to be able to find us with the algorithm. So please be sure to tag us on your Instagram stories. We are found at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini on Instagram. And then if you would like to apply for the team, we have limited spots, but you can find the application by hitting the Get Started button on our website, glamgirlbikini.com. So find us there if you're looking for your unicorn prep, just similar to this episode where we talked about the different body types. Everyone is unique, so you deserve that specialized program that fits your puzzle. So with that, this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.